Today on The King is Coming.
You can be strong too. If you decide to have faith in the Lord, you decide not to capitulate when other influences come against you, and then you stand with other believers, my friend, you're going to make it in this world. What does it mean to have real conviction in the Lord? We're going to find out next on The King is Coming. In Luke's Gospel in chapter 8, we read these words, "And it came about soon afterwards that he began going about from one city and village to another, proclaiming and preaching the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and sicknesses, Mary who was called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others who were contributing to their support out of their private means." You know, you wonder how Jesus did his ministry? Well, he was supported by these dear women. The Apostle Paul was also supported by the Philippian church. And our ministry also needs support as well. We'd ask you to consider a year-end donation to this ministry to help us do exactly what Christ has called us to do, to spread the gospel across the world. Thank you.
In a world filled with uncertainty and fear, what kind of faith empowers us to stand strong? What kind of courage leads us to face the impossible with confidence? Imagine the faith of a leader guiding hundreds of thousands into an unknown land, or the unyielding trust that walks into a fiery furnace without fear. Picture the boldness of a man building an ark amidst ridicule and scorn, trusting wholly in God's promise. Join Jeff Kinley as he journeys through the lives of these extraordinary Old Testament heroes in our series, Courageous Faith, Living Boldly and Confidently in Fearful Times. Discover how their unwavering faith can inspire and transform our lives even today. To get your copy of this inspiring 8-part DVD set, call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com now.
Well, thank you for joining me today on The King is Coming. I'm Jeff Kinley, and it's my privilege to be able to bring these messages to you and to encourage you in your walk with Jesus Christ. We exist to help equip the body of Christ and to help you reach your world for Jesus. That's the main thing that we do here. So thank you for joining me. Listen, we're going to talk about today another episode of this series called Courageous Faith. And we're surveying some characters throughout the Old Testament. And we come here to this chapter of chapter 3 of Daniel. And we're going to look at these three young men called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, to set the stage here, this happened when the Israelites were taken into captivity, and they were taken to Babylon, and this happened around 605 BC, and so they're essentially slaves. They're taken into another land, and yet some of them had the opportunity to work within the government. But what's interesting is that when they were taken to this place in Babylon, they actually changed the names of the young men and of Daniel who came into to Babylon's service. And one of them was named Hananiah, and the other was named Mishael, and the third was named Azariah. And their names were changed to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And each of those names had significance to their gods. And so the Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king there, in Babylon, changed these young men's names so that they would reflect their God's honor and not the Jewish God as well. It's another way that they subjugated them. So in chapter 3, we begin with this king, Nebuchadnezzar, who's erected this this giant statue in the essentially in the square there, the town square, if you will. And basically what he said was, he says that each of you, when you come by the statue, he says, when the music sounds, I want you to bow down to the statue. And by bowing down to the statue, you're essentially bowing down to me. And let's look at what it says here. It says in verse 4, it says, "Then the herald loudly proclaimed, 'To you the command is given, O peoples, nations, men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, says you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be immediately cast into a blaze of burning fire. So here's the deal. It's not voluntary worship here in ancient Babylon. It's mandatory. It's obligatory. It's compulsory. And if you don't do it, we'll just burn you alive. That'll be the penalty. Well, let's think about this for a second. If you're the king and you want real worship, you're obviously not going to get it by forcing people, but you do get at least the outward expression of worship, because if they don't worship you, you kill them. And so this is a part of kind of the tyrannical government that Nebuchadnezzar had. So at that time, that's exactly what happened. Everybody worshiped when they heard the music. But then it says in verse 8, for this reason at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. Now, these are the these Jews that have come in, these young men that have come in, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you'll recall, when they came in, Daniel stepped forward and said, look, we don't want to eat the king's food because it's not kosher. It doesn't conform to the Jewish dietary restrictions and the things that, that we have to do as Jews. So we asked permission to eat our own food. And at the end of a period of time, a couple of weeks, let's look at who's eating what and see who's more healthy. And at the end of that time, the Jewish young men were more healthy than the others. And so they were allowed to continue to eat their diet, but they weren't allowed to worship their God publicly. So it says, they respond in verse 9 and said to Nebuchadnezzar, the king, O king, live forever. It says, you yourself, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, the lyre, et cetera, et cetera, will fall down and worship the golden image. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast in the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. So, you know, we're just rehearsing that. These are your words we're telling you, right? He says, there are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods, and they do not worship the golden image that you've set up. So these guys are openly defying the government. They are not capitulating. They're not bowing down to the statue. It says in verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders for these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to be brought before the king. And it says, Nebuchadnezzar responded to them and says, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Because think about it. For all intents and purposes, this is the rest of their life there in Babylon. They're not like serving a sentence and then get to go home, at least in their minds yet. But they're there forever. And so the king's like, look, if you're going to live here, you're going to serve my gods, you're going to worship me, or you're going to die. Those are your choices. He says, now, if you're ready, I'll give you another chance here because I'm a good guy. He says, when you hear the sound of the flute, the lyre, the psaltery, the bagpipe, all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I've made. But if you will not worship, you will be immediately cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And then he says this, and this was his fatal error. He said this, he said, and what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? And in the minds of those three young Jewish males who had already been faithful to the Lord, I'm sure they're thinking, okay, game on. And so they're ready to tell King Nebuchadnezzar what their faith is all about. So they say in verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able, he says, to deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Now stop right there. This was the most blatant, dangerous, courageous, bold words that these guys could say, because they were actually now defying the king, not outside, but to his face. And this obviously was not going to go well for them by saying this. But notice what they say next. Even if God does not deliver us, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Now, right here, as we're going to see in our next program, is an example of great conviction, of great confidence, of great faith. And think about it, they could have rationalized this decision very easily. In fact, they could have come up with some excuses that could have gotten them out of this situation. I'm going to tell you what those excuses are when we come back here in just a minute. Hi, this is Jeff Kinley with The King Is Coming. You know, each week we bring to you dedicated programming from the Word of God to equip you in how to live for Jesus Christ in this perilous times that we're living in. If this ministry has meant something to you, would you consider a generous gift to this ministry? Just go to the address on the bottom of the screen and give towards The King Is Coming. God bless you. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are standing before King Nebuchadnezzar. He's the most powerful man on earth, okay? And they're telling him, we're not going to bow down to your statue. We're not going to worship your gods because our God is the God to whom we serve. And also, he's going to deliver us from your hand and from the furnace. And even if he doesn't, we're still not going to serve. In other words, we're willing to go to our deaths for our faith in God. In essence, the gun is put to their heads and they're being faced with not just death, but a horrifying, painful death in a very, very hot furnace. So they could have come up with some excuses here. Let's be honest. I mean, think about the wheels in their mind. If they weren't settled in their faith, they could have said this. They could have said, you know what? An idol is just nothing anyway. It's just wood and gold. It's not real. It's not like a real God that we're bowing down to. So we're really not worshiping any other God. We're just bowing down to a piece of wood. They could have said that. They could have said, we'll bow on the outside, but on the inside, we'll still be standing up. They could have said that excuse. They could have said, we'll do it one time, and then we'll confess it, and everything will be okay. But they didn't. They could have said, we'll bow to your God, but we'll be praying to our God while we're bowing to your God. So really, in our heart, everything's still okay. They could have said, well, everybody's doing it. We'll be left out. We'll be ostracized. They'll point fingers at us. We'll be canceled if we don't do it. They could have said, well, you know what? If we bow to the statue, that means we'll become like everybody else. And that way we can reach those people better for God because we're kind of in their world and doing what they're doing. But they didn't do that. They could have said this. The king is our boss. We don't get a choice to obey or disobey. He's the king. So we have to obey him. God will understand because we're supposed to submit to authority, right? They didn't say that. They could have said, you know what, we really owe the king this. For all he's done for us, he's put us in the kingly service. We're not slaves out making bricks somewhere or working in the fields. We're in the king's palace and we're in the government's administration. He's been good to us. We can't disappoint him like this. They didn't say that. They didn't say, this isn't as bad as what some people do. Some people actually sacrifice to other gods or worship other gods openly. We're not really doing that. We're just bowing down to a statue. Or finally, they could have said this. If we're dead, God can't use us anymore. Death's not in our contract. So if we die, we're worthless. We're useless to God. So we got to stay alive. And how do you stay alive? By bowing down to that statue. Guess what? They didn't say one of these things. What they did say was, we're not going to bow. We're not going to bow, and we're not going to budge in our commitment to our God. Now, these are young men at this point. And the level of raw dedication that they have to their God is so incredibly encouraging because it tells us that we too can have that kind of dedication. So why can we do that, Jeff? Because of this. They're living in a wicked, depraved world, a world where rulers who are godless rulers are in charge. We're living in a wicked, depraved world where rulers, godless rulers, are also in charge. And so really nothing has changed. And people are telling us today, bow down to wokeness, bow down to this whole idea of personal pronouns, bow down to the transgender thing, bow down to the evil that's in our society, bow down to quote unquote women's reproductive rights, bow down, sit down, shut up, go away. And Christians today need to be able to say, no, I think what I'll do, I'll just keep standing. I'll keep speaking out. And like Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 and 5, they said, look, we cannot stop speaking of the things that we have seen and heard. We must obey God rather than men. Well, that's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are doing. Loyalty to God was greater than their loyalty to man, their fear of authority, or to even death. Loyalty to God. By the way, have you ever wondered where was Daniel in all this? Why wasn't Daniel required to do this? Well, Daniel, we believe, because of his position in the king's court, was immune from having to go outside and bow down to the statue. He had a regional command, not a federal judiciary there. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they believed in internal principles over external pressure. They believed in no compromise and no discussion. And like the Apostle Paul, when he said, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Listen, if I die, I just get promoted. I get a promotion when I die. So if you're going to kill me, all right, kill me. But that just means I go off to heaven to a better place. And guess what? As someone has famously said, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. In other words, if you die for Christ as a martyr, then your death is going to inspire thousands more to live for Christ. So you can't kill the work of God that's going on. And had they bowed, they would have lost all credibility regarding their faith. Well, they teach us something here. We'll find out what happens here in just a second. But they teach us that our convictions may sometimes cost us. And that, once again, where does the conviction come from? Well, the conviction comes from a settled faith that you already have in God. We don't make our decisions in the moment. We make them ahead of time so that we can serve God. Well, what happens to these guys? Well, it says here in verse 19 of chapter 3 in Daniel, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered. So here you can imagine just the veins in his forehead popping out. He's gritting his teeth. He gets so angry. He's so frustrated. You know why? Because he can't control these Jewish believers. He can control everybody else, but he can't control these guys. It says, towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he answered and gave orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. So make it glow white hot. I want these guys to feel it. And he commanded certain valiant warriors who were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of blazing fire. And so these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, and their other clothes. They were cast into the midst of the furnace of the blazing fire. And, you know, think about the look that perhaps Shadrach gave Meshach and Meshach gave Abednego right before they were cast in the fire. It's a look that says, you know what? It's okay. It's all right. We're going to go from the fire to fame in God's kingdom. So we're going to win in this thing either way. But notice what happens next. It says, for this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. So they were cast into this giant kiln, if you will, giant oven. And here comes this blast of heat, a blast of fire that can only be described like the surface of the sun. And what happens next is they meet somebody in the fire. We'll talk about that when we come back on The King is Coming. Hi, this is Jeff Kinley with The King is Coming. You know, each week we bring to you dedicated programming from the Word of God to equip you in how to live for Jesus Christ in this perilous times that we're living in. If this ministry has meant something to you, would you consider a generous gift to this ministry? Just go to the address on the bottom of the screen and give towards The King is Coming. God bless you. So these three Hebrew youths have been cast into a furnace of blazing fire. And they get inside the fire and something unexpected happens. Something they had no way of knowing could ever occur. We read in Daniel 3 and verse 24. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and stood up in haste And he responded and said to the high officials, was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said to the king, certainly, O king. And apparently the way that this furnace was set up is where you could, from a distance, obviously, you could, there was an opening where you could see into the fire. And so it was big enough to where he could see exactly wall to wall what was going on inside there. Obviously, nothing can survive in that type of heat. But Nebuchadnezzar sees something. Look what he says in verse 25. He said, look, I see four men loosed and walking around in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth one is like the son of the gods. And all of a sudden, there's a fourth personage in the fire with them. I believe that personage, is, once again, is a theophany or a Christophany or a or an appearance of the angel of the Lord. We've seen this. We talked about this with Abraham. We talked about it with Joshua. And now we see it here with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In other words, God's presence is right there with them in the fire. And, you know, God told Isaiah, when you walk through the fire, I will be with you. In other words, no matter what this world does to us, no matter what the enemy brings our way, Jesus has said, I will always be with you. In fact, I will never leave you or forsake you. He says in Hebrews chapter 13, in verses 5 and 8. And so we know that Christ is with them, but he's there with them in the fire. Now, why did he do this? I think he wanted them to know that his presence would be what preserved them, that there would be perhaps a twinge of fear when they were actually thrown into the fiery furnace. But when they got in there, all of a sudden their ropes were burned off, and they look and there's Jesus himself, the second member of the Godhead, standing with them, encouraging them, perhaps even building them up because of their faith in him. And so Nebuchadnezzar says in verse 26, he came near the door of the furnace of blazing fire, and he responded and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. And it says, and the satraps, the rulers and the prefects and the governors and the king's high officials gathered around and they saw. They gathered around and they saw. Pause right there real quick. Do you know when you stand up for God and you go through the fire, and it may be you go through hard times at work or hard times with your health or hard times financially, or hard times with your family. You go through that. You get through that fire. People are going to see. They're going to notice. And when you come out, they're going to know you didn't get through it just by gritting your teeth or because you had an iron will, but because there was somebody with you strengthening you through that fire. And that's exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. And it says that all these government officials saw that the fire had no effect on the bodies of these men, nor was even the hair of their head singed. They were supernaturally protected with a divine bubble, if you will, to keep them from even feeling the heat of the fire. Nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. You can't walk by a campfire without smelling like a campfire. But they didn't even have the smell of fire on them there. And so Nebuchadnezzar responded and said this. He said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him. See, Nebuchadnezzar noticed their courageous faith. And he says, violating the king's command and yielding up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God. Don't you love that singularity of loyalty there that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had? They were so firm, so rooted, so grounded in their faith that they just couldn't be threatened by some other god. We are committed to our God, and we're not going to look to the right or to the left. We're going to simply serve him. And then finally, King Nebuchadnezzar says, therefore, I make a decree. Here's a new decree now. That any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensively against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb, and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap. That's biblical talk for a dung pile. He says, Insomuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver this way. Then the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. So not only were they not burned up, but they were praised and then promoted. Now, that doesn't always happen, but it happened here. And everybody saw their faith in the Lord God. Well, what do we learn from these guys? Well, obviously, we could say this. God doesn't always save us from the fire, right? Sometimes we go through the fire. Sometimes he does. But sometimes he says, no, I'm going to let you go through the fire. As Jesus said in John 16, in this world, you will have tribulations, plural. You'll have hard times. But he says, take courage, I've overcome the world. And he'll be with us during those times as well. Another principle is that standing with other believers makes you stronger. It's one thing to go through something all by yourself, but it's a whole nother ball of wax to go through it with other believers, to lock arm in arm with other guys, other gals, other young people and say, look, let's do this together. I need you. Come alongside me during this time. I'll come alongside you. That encouragement makes us strong. And then also never underestimate the power of a life yielded to Jesus. I mean, these guys prospered in the most decadent, depraved kingdom on planet Earth. They're prospering as believers. And that can happen. And Proverbs says that when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And that's an overall general rule that happens every time. But there are sometimes when people actually will say, hey, he's the best worker we've got. He's got the best character. We're going to make this guy be head of things. And then finally, I would just say this, is that the Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, just in terms of encouraging one another, it says, two are better than one, for they have a good return for their labor. For if one of them falls, the other will lift them up, lift up his companion. But woe to the one who falls, and there is not one there to lift him up. It says that furthermore, if two lie down together, they can keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And if one can overpower him who is alone, two can resist him. Then it says a cord of three strands is not quickly torn apart. You know what that means? That means we're stronger together. That means we believe together. We make each other's faith stronger. And that's why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 16:13, he says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith. And the implied word there is together, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Be strong. And you can be strong too. If you decide to have faith in the Lord, you decide not to capitulate when other influences come against you, and then you stand with other believers, my friend, you're going to make it in this world. Do that. Do it today. And I'll see you next time. God bless.
Based on biblical revelations about the coming man of sin, Interview with the Antichrist will cause your imagination to soar and whet your appetite for more information on end times prophecy. The speculative account from Jeff Kinley is more than just a suspenseful mystery. It will give you a window into the character of the Antichrist and how our last days could unfold according to Scripture's ultimate plot. For any gift of $20 or more to The King is Coming, get your copy of Interview with the Antichrist. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you.